All right, as I said earlier, we're going to chase the same theme that we've started. And if you're not familiar with how we do themes here, every Sunday we start in our morning Bible studies at 9:30. We start a theme for our week. And for this week, it's the theme of endurance. And so we have a little devotional guide that goes Monday through Saturday this coming week on endurance. And then next Sunday, we'll begin a new topic. Next Sunday, we'll be looking at discipleship. And so the next week will be about discipleship. The next week, we're looking at obedience. And so the next week will be about obedience following that, okay? So we try to sing around that. We try to center our word around that. So when we walk out of here, we've tried to at least plan accordingly. One of the beautiful things is when God works in a way that we didn't plan for, right? I didn't intend to say that, and I wasn't planning on you to hear that, and I wasn't expecting to receive that. And lo and behold, the Lord showed up, and he's ministered something to me, and it's been good to be here, so I hope that's true here today. I hope we walk out of here refreshed and encouraged. I want to encourage you from the word today about being a church, about being individuals who walk out of here with this quality of endurance. All right, so 2 Timothy 1 is where we were this morning. We're going to be in Hebrews chapter 12. So if you've got a Bible, you'd like to turn there, we'd love for you to go ahead and turn there. If you don't have a Bible, we'd like to get one for you. So if you forgot it, that's one thing. But if you don't own one, if you'd let us know, we'd love to go out and get you a Bible that's your own word that you can take home and chew on and mark up, treat it like it's God's specific word to you. But the text, as always, is on the wall. You can follow there as well, okay? So here's what we're going to do. For the next few weeks, we're going to work through a process called taking the next step. And today's going to be dealing in the area of endurance. As I said, next week we'll take the next step in discipleship, and the following week we'll take the next step in obedience. But for today, we're going to talk about endurance. So let me start by asking you a question. We always like to talk before we get into the text, right? So, how many of you remember taking your first step? Huh. None of us remember the first step, huh? All right. So you got to take the first step to be able to take the second step, right? So somewhere along the way, we know that you took a first step because why? All right, because we're walking and we're running now, right? And it seems like as a child, once you learned to walk, the next thing you had to learn was how to run. You don't ever find children doing anything in a real slow way, right? They just like to fall, and they're always tumbling, and you're scared to death that they're going to bust their head or they're going to trip over something. They're just not that mindful of what's around them, right? But they're always running. Now, I can walk better and run better than I did as a child, but I still feel like I'm running through life. Anybody else? Feel like I'm just constantly trying to catch up to my day. Like Monday's going to come tomorrow, and I'm still going to be stuck today. And I'm going to be dealing with Friday, but I'm still back on Monday. It's just like I'm always trying to catch up to where I feel like I should be. And so we're always running. But sometimes life hits us, and we find ourselves in that season of life where it's not so much about keeping up as it is about getting up. You ever been there? And maybe it is getting up out of bed. You know, I've talked with people who've been through some real heartache, and they said, Corey, just waking up, starting the day, getting out of bed is a real success for me. When you think of a loved one who's died, or you think of a relationship that's been broken up, or somebody who's just gotten news that just has floored them, they say, man, just getting out of bed is a big accomplishment for me this day. So sometimes getting up is a bigger deal than keeping up. How many of you remember, and I'm going to date myself a little bit here, okay? So you children, you're not going to have a clue what I'm talking about. But we'll explain it. Have you ever heard of a Weeble Wobble? You have? How's the song go? Weebles wobble, but they don't fall down. That's right. I almost showed you the commercial here this morning. It's from the mid-1970s, and that's exactly what it says. And it's this cheesiest commercial ever, right? Weebles wobble, they don't fall down. And that's the truth of the matter. They were these little things. They were kind of rounded at the bottom, almost egg-shaped, and they looked like little people. And you had like a house and an airplane and a car or a lake or whatever, all these little playthings, just like they do today, and you would play with them. Well, a Weeble Wobble is this little thing. You could lay it down, but it would never stay down. It would always wobble right back up, okay? And I believe that's how the Holy Spirit works in us as believers. Sometimes we get hit in life, and we're going to weeble around a little bit, right? But we're going to wobble right back up because of the power of Christ in us. And so it may be hard to get up, but we have every reason to get up and not stay down because of the work of Christ, what he's done for us, and the presence of the Spirit within us. And so today we're going to kind of chase the idea of wobbling back up in this area of endurance. And we're going to do that with the analogy of a runner. So if you've got your Bibles here, Hebrews chapter 12, we're going to begin in just a minute, verse 1. But if we were to talk about endurance, and we are, how are you going to define it? What would you say endurance is about? Keeping on, or keeping up, okay? Anybody else? When you say I endure, or they endured, or the business endured, what are we saying? It stayed. Steadfast. You guys went home and looked in your dictionaries, didn't you? We've talked about it. Perseverance, okay? Those words are really synonymous when you look them up in the dictionary. You'll find one defining the other, perseverance and endurance. Anybody else? Endurance. Commitment. That's absolutely right. So you've got all these things working together, okay? So we've got the commitment that says, I won't quit. We've got the perseverance that says, it's hard, but I'm going to press on, right? We've got all these things mixed together to create this beautiful ingredient that's necessary for life called endurance. And so if you were to look it up in a dictionary, you would find everything you guys just said. So I've got nothing for you today. But it does mean that we kind of bear with it, okay? It means that we stay the course even in the midst of adversity. And we've all said we've had those days where we felt and it was hard to keep going or to press on. The idea of endurance says, I will not quit. Though it's hard, though I'm struggling, though I don't understand why I'm having to deal with this right now, I will not quit. I will see this thing through. And that's the encouragement and that's the hope that we have in this text here today. So Hebrews 12, we're going to pick up in verse 1. Somebody tell me in your Bible, Hebrews 12, 1, what's the first word? Wherefore or therefore. So that word always signifies what? All right, something previously. That text is built off something the writer just said. So therefore, okay? So we go back to chapter 11, we find initially the definition of faith. The idea of faith is proven right there in chapter 11. So here it is. It's the confidence in what we hope for, and it's assurance in what we do not see. That's 11, Hebrews 11, chapter 1. So we have the definition of faith. Then we have all these people the Bible outlines who live their life by faith. Did they have it easy? No. So we have all these great examples in front of us of people who have struggled, people who fought, people who prayed, people who didn't get it, people who had heartaches and setbacks, and yet they endured with faith. We even find some people who were brutally mistreated because of their faith, and yet they pressed on. They pressed on for something that this world could not offer them. And so then in chapter 12, you get to this little word which says, therefore, or that word, wherefore. All right, so let's read here. Hebrews 12, verse 1, verse 2, and verse 3 is all we're tracking with this morning. It says, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, that's those in chapter 11 that we just talked about, who have persevered and endured in faith, let us then lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. And so this morning and for the next few weeks here together, we're going to work through chapter 12, verses 1, 2, and 3 as it relates to taking the next step. Now I want to phrase it this way. We can take the next step. I don't want to say we take the next step because sometimes we don't, right? You ever had the day where you got down and you stayed down? Woe is me. How pitiful my life is. Why don't they like me, or why'd they turn their back, or why did I get fired, or why can't I find a job, or why am I still sick, why can't I get stronger? We just kind of stay down some days, and so it's not this happens, it's this can happen. And this can happen as we partner with the Lord in this idea of endurance. So we're going to focus on three things here today, helping us take the next step. Okay, and first one is this. We can take the next step understanding that we have been made to compete by God. You and I have been put on this planet as competitors, as participators. And so we read here in our text this morning the first verse, and let's go ahead and read it here. Hebrews 12, verse 1, we'll reread it again. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. So here's the idea. Back in the day, all right, back in Rome, Paul is addressing the idea of a Roman game, or the author here is addressing that. And it's the picture of thousands of people sitting in a Colosseum while there are people down on the dirt floor who are participating in some sort of event. And often that would be an Olympic game. And so here what he's saying is there are people who are surrounding who are great clouds of witnesses. Is that us? Are we part of the great cloud of witnesses? Not yet. Right? We've talked about Hebrews 11, those of great faith. Since we are surrounded by them, they're the lookers on. They're the ones who've already completed their event. They've run their race. It's our turn now. So we don't sit in the stands, or in our case, we don't sit in the pews and say, hey, I've fulfilled my role as a follower of Jesus, right? We are to participate. We are to be competing. We need that competitive spirit here to drive us to be steadfast or to endure in this idea of running our race. And so back in the text, all right, verse 1, therefore, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And the next four words say, and let us run. And let us run. We've been created by God, church, to be competitive. And I'm not talking about let's go out and join a soccer team or get on some sort of team. It's the idea of here running this race, following after God with kind of this reckless abandon where people look at us and go, wow, what are you doing? Why are you doing that? I was reading a quote here from Francis Chan recently that said, I want people to see the way that I live my life and then praise the Lord, not praise me. You know, in Matthew 5, it talks about letting your light so shine so the world will see and glorify God. That was the picture, living in such a way where people don't go, wow, they're great, but where people go, there is a God, and he's awesome, and he's after me. And so we've been set here to follow God in such a way that is very competitive. You remember Paul writes to the Corinthians and says, hey, listen, if you're going to run your race, run it to win the prize. Right? After all, what's the point of getting in? I hope I come in last. I would love nothing more than not to be able to finish my race. Nobody says that, right? You have a last place ribbon, all right? Nobody wants that. So we get in a race and we run and we compete for the purpose of winning the prize. And so here we are to follow God. And the author here makes something very clear about how we run, and that's to run with endurance. Why run with endurance? You know what that suggests? If you've ever competed in any sort of game, it's been difficult, right? When you think of a game of football or a game of basketball, you've got a lot of bodies that are just bumping into each other, right? And they're trying to impose their will on somebody else. And so it's hard work. And so here the word endurance means you're going to fight. You're going to battle. Lots going to come your way to cause you to weeble. And so we need to be vigilant or be people who endure. You remember running? Anybody? I know some of you are runners to this day, and some of our children, you guys remember running. Some of us who have a little more wisdom behind us, you remember running? You remember getting to a point where you just felt like I couldn't take another step? You know, you may be there right now, right? I don't even think I can get out of this pew, right? So sometimes we're that way. I feel like I just can't run. I can't take another step. And so I need this attitude or I need this work within me called endurance. What allowed you to take your next step? Endurance, right? You've battled already. You've pressed. You've got this commitment that says, I'm not going to quit. There's this resiliency in your spirit. And you say, I'm going to keep following or I'm going to keep fighting regardless of the cost. And so here Paul, or I keep saying Paul, most say Paul wrote Hebrews, but we'll say the author of Hebrews. The idea here is that he wrote and told us that we're going to have things we need to endure through. We're going to have things like hindrances. You ever have a hindrance? Something that's made your Christian walk following after Jesus difficult? Ever? He talks about the sin that so easily entangles us. You ever have sin kind of chomping at your heels? Sin that kind of wants to wreck your life? Right here he's writing about these things, or the author is writing about these things to help us understand the purpose of endurance is that it's going to be hard. The purpose in running is it's going to be hard. You're going to have to put one foot in front of the other, and the minute you stop doing that is the minute you stop running. And it's the same way in following after Jesus. The minute we get tied up with our sin or our hindrances and we quit taking the next step, we find ourselves not competitive in the race. And so he tells us to do some things here. He says, set aside your hindrances. All sorts of good things can be hindrances, right? And I was out fishing this Friday. What if I decided, hey, I'm going to fish every day of the week? I'm not going to study anymore. I'm not going to pray a whole lot. I'm not going to do the things that I'm just going to go fishing. I'm going to get great at fishing. Anything wrong with getting great at fishing? Some of our fishermen are like, not at all. There's absolutely all sorts of terrible things wrong with me getting great at fishing, because it's going to come at the expense of me following after Jesus. Good things can sometimes hinder the God things. I'm just going to go on vacation for 6 months, and then I'll come back and help the Lord out. Vacation sounds great. Refreshing sounds good. But is that good for me and my competitive spirit? No, all I'm doing is checking out. I'm checking out, and then I'm going to check back in. The idea is that we've got to endure. We've got to stay the course. I can do a lot of good things, and I'm not going to pick on your hobbies, okay? But you think about the things that you love to do that just wake you up in the morning. You say, I can't believe this day is here. I can't wait to participate in this. That good thing can become an idol thing, which hinders us from the God thing. And so here he says, set aside the hindrance. It's not wrong to enjoy the blessing of the Lord. It's wrong when the blessing of the Lord's become the idols and the worship of my life. When they excite my soul more than the Lord Jesus Christ does, then I've got some work I need to deal with in my own heart. The writer says, set aside your hindrance. Set it aside, because all it will do in your race is hinder it. He also says we need to deal with our sin. And here's the truth of the matter. We need to be honest about being sinful people. Right? We've all got tendencies to sin. We've all got weak spots. Your weak spot may be different than my weak spot, but I guarantee you, you have one. And right now, you're thinking about it. This is where I struggle. This is my sin. This is what seeks to rob me of my victory. This is what's entangling my feet so I can't run. This is what I battle day in and day out. Everybody battles their sin. And so he says to deal with it. Don't act like you don't have a sin tendency. You do. Call it by name. Call it out. Lord, I need your help in this. Spirit, give me victory over this. You've set my feet here to run, and I'm not willing to be entangled, and so I need your help. We've got to be people who have this attitude, this competitive attitude of endurance. How foolish would it be if we were all going to run a race today and we all showed up with our legs tied together? We'd say, you've got no chance. You're not even giving yourself an opportunity to be successful. When I walk out of here and say, no, I don't have any sin that entangles my feet, I'm walking out of here being willing to be unsuccessful for the Lord. I have sin tendencies. I have weaknesses. I have temptations where the devil works me and he works you. And the only way I'll run this thing with endurance is I've got to deal with my sin. Don't overcommit to the things that hinder you, but don't just underthink about the things that seek to entangle you. We need to call it like it is and not treat them like they don't exist. And so we're talking here today about enduring. We're going to take the next step by, first of all, understanding that we've been set on this planet to run. We've been set on this planet to participate in the forward movement of the gospel. We've been set on this planet to know the Lord and to help other people know him. And anything that doesn't make that happen should be secondary. And that's not just a good word on Sunday, that's a good word on a random Tuesday. Wake up that day, this is your day, I'm running this race for your cause. Don't let anything hinder me, help me deal with the sin that seeks to entangle me. Here we need to just focus on Christ, once again, as we've sung through this morning, and lay aside anything that will hinder my race. And so I want to ask you before we progress, are you racing? Are you running? Or have you got these hindrances? Have you got this sin? There's some things you need to deal with. The truth of the matter is, if there are, then God's drawing our heart to say, here, I've created you to run. And you're going to be beautiful at it. And you're going to be more than successful at it. And you're going to be empowered to do it. But you've got to trust me in it. And what I'm asking you, what I'm telling you is, let go of your hindrance. Deal with your entanglements. And let's run. You've been built, you've been created to participate. All right, here, let's progress here this morning. Thinking about taking the next step. How can we? One is by having this understanding that I'm supposed to be running. And that's good for any age in the room. And so this morning we're down to age 5, up to an age that's quite a bit beyond 5. And we're all supposed to be running. And this is the beauty of it. You're still here for a purpose. Right? You may not feel like you can run the race that you could run 10 years ago, but you're still here to compete. you're still here as a vital part of the body. And so we're going to talk through this here in a minute. Let's make sure that we're fulfilling our role. We're not just to sit and applaud those who can do it because they're a little bit better, or those who may have better health or things of that nature. We're all role players. So understand that we are to compete. And if we'll understand, that's the first part of taking the next step. Secondly, we're going to take the next step when we realize that there is a specific race that we are to run. And so we're going to talk about the race, the big race, and then third and last, we're going to get to our race. And so we've got, I'm supposed to race, and let's talk a little bit about the race. Have you ever asked the question, what's the point? What's the point of all this? I just don't understand it. It doesn't make any sense. Why am I doing it? Whatever. What's the point? I'm sure that we've all asked that at different times in our lives. For me, I'll share one with you that I asked when I first came here as youth pastor. You guys remember that? Some of you may remember that. That was 2003. We've been here almost 12 years now. But I came then with understandings of how I thought the church was supposed to function, not Peace Church, but any church. But it took me a while to really put the pieces of the puzzle together. And I struggled with that. And we struggled with that. You know, if you remember back in 04 and 05, you remember enduring through a purpose of the church study with your pastor? You came to those meetings going, what's the point, pastor? Right? Well, we endured through that to help us see that there is a big picture. And for me, it finally brought some clarity. But until that point, I had all kinds of ideas about what the church was supposed to be doing. And so if we were to poll this room, we would probably be as various in our opinions as various in anything. We would all have different ideas, possibly, what the church should be doing. So here's some things that we've talked through. So should I go to church? All right, I should. You're saying I should go to church. And so that's what a follower of Jesus does. If I'm going to race, that's what I'm doing. Should I pray? Okay, should I read my Bible? I'm talking all these shouldas, right? Should I give? Okay, should and give, that can go in all sorts of directions. What about love? Should I love anybody? Should I teach? Whether you're a pastor or not, should you be teaching? Yeah, how can you make disciples if you're not teaching, right? Should I be equipping in some sort of way? Right, should I be preaching? And so we've got preaching, we've got going, we've got reaching out, we've got caring for people who can't care for themselves, like an orphan or possibly widows or those who are hungry or those who are powerless. We're going to speak up for those who can't speak for themselves. We're going to stand for what is true. We're going to bear burdens. We're going to worship. We're going to judge, but we're also going to not judge. How's that work? We're going to speak up, and we're going to be quiet. We're going to grow, and on we could go this morning. All I'm trying to say is, here's like 30 different things that make it hard for me to understand what the purpose of the church is. And so when I walk into a business, or I walk into a church, or I'm a father looking at my family, I've got to address the question, what's the point? What's the point? And until I get an answer there, I'm just going to flounder, right? We're going to go out tomorrow, and we're going to start a wonderful business. What are we going to start? You know? I don't either, but we're going to start one. We would say tomorrow morning, what's the point? Oh, well, let's just go rent a building over here in Granite. There's a few vacant buildings. We're going to start a business in that building right there. What are we going to start? I don't know, but it's going to start in that building. And why don't you go buy a piece of machinery, and I'll go buy a desk, and somebody else go buy a refrigerator. You got to have food. And so whatever we all bring back, that'll define our business. Does that sound like a good idea? That's a horrible idea. We're just going to keep asking, what's the point? Am I supposed to give, or am I supposed to love? Am I supposed to preach, or am I supposed to teach? Am I supposed to reach out, or supposed to love those of the church more? Am I supposed to pray, or am I supposed to judge? Am I supposed to not? What's the point of all of it? How does all this work together? And so finally, the Lord got me to say, you need to pray about this because you don't know what the point is. And so for 6 months, we prayed through, what's the point? What's the point? And on my way to school one morning, it just hit me clearly. And I knew exactly what the point of the church was. I saw with crystal clarity how the Great Commission and the Great Commandment just fold into one another. Love the Lord with all you've got and love others the way you love yourself and be people on mission, making disciples. That's how you're going to fulfill. Everything that I just listed flows out of those things. Okay? Remember, back in the day, the Pharisees had like 613 laws, and Jesus summarized it with how many? Two. Can you imagine waking up and trying to remember to do 613 things? I've got almost that many sticky notes on my desk, and I can't remember like five things to do throughout my day. And Jesus said, there's only two, people. Love God with all you've got and love others the way you love me. If you'll do that, then you'll go out and be people who make disciples. You'll be on mission with me. And so when that finally came clear to me, I had a little worship session in my car, and it made sense. The 10,000-piece puzzle finally clicked. And it's like, I get it. I see it. I understand the point. All right, where we don't understand the point, we're going to struggle in our endurance to run. Now, that may not have been new understanding for you, but it was for me at that point in my life. It definitely wasn't new understanding for this planet. People have been teaching that and working through that all along. You know, it just kind of came clear to me this week, dealing with high school students, a lot of them don't know roads. Like the other day, I was talking to them about a bike trail over off 159, and they're like, 159? Where's that at? I think I've got a family member off 159. I said, well, 270 and 159, you know where that, what's 270? What's 270? I'm like, you have your driver's license. You know, we drive all over, and children don't know. And then one day you get your license and you go, well, there's a stop sign right there. Did they just put it there? No, it's been there all your life. You've just matured to a point where you can finally see it. I couldn't tell you how many times I've read the Great Commission and the Great Commandment. I just hadn't matured to a point or been brought to a point where my desire, the hunger in my spirit was to really know what the point is. And so God didn't just create a new word. He opened my eyes and said, it's been there all along. Now you can see it. And I said, oh, thank you, Jesus. Finally, I understand it. And now we can track forward. Let's go back to the text here. Hebrews 12:1, looking at this specific race, or the idea that there is the race. Verse 1, this is kind of the second half of verse 1. It says, let us run with perseverance. What's the next word? The race. Let us run with perseverance the race that is marked out for us. And so having a purpose is key to endurance. He doesn't say go out and run a race. Go do something. He says, no, this is the race. The race. Paul wrote to the people there at Acts when he became a believer. Luke wrote about Paul there where he says, the only thing I want to accomplish on this earth is finish the race that the Lord has given me, which is to share or preach the gospel to all the Gentiles. You'll find that, I believe, in Acts 24. And so we have the race to run. Last Sunday, downtown St. Louis, there were more than 15,000 people who participated in a race. This Go St. Louis race. Marathons, half marathons, things of that nature. Let's say that we had been downtown and we turn a corner and all of a sudden there are 1,000 people running the opposite direction that we're walking. And they just look like they're running for their life. What would you do? Would you take off running? Now, if they didn't have on the running gear and the bib and all that kind of stuff, I mean, that kind of gives it away, right? So we would know, oh, this is a race. But what if they were just running in street clothes and they were just screaming? Would we just stand there? Hey, where are y'all going? Why are you going that way? No, I would probably start running. Would I know why I'm running? No. Would I know where I'm running? No. And so they take a right turn by Busch Stadium. Where am I going? I guess I'm going right, because that's where they're going. And I've ran in races before where I went the wrong way. The whole crowd went that way. I was like, what am I doing? I don't know where I'm going. When we don't understand the point, all right, we're going to get involved in something, but we're not going to keep doing it. So I may run a block or two with these thousands of people, and then I'm going to stop and go, what am I doing? I don't know why I'm running. I don't know where I'm going. They all look like they have an understanding of where they're going. They're on track. They're running a pace. I have no clue. And so where there is no real clarity about why we are to be running or what the point of the race is, then we just won't endure. We won't go through the pain. Think of it this way. Let's say that you were having some struggle with your knee. And you went to the doctor and he or she couldn't find anything wrong with your knee. And so they said, listen, I can't find anything wrong with you, but I'm a surgeon and I need to do surgery, so I'm going to start on your ear. I don't think it's connected, but I'm just going to try something. What are you going to say? We've already heard it by laughter, right? There's no way you're going to touch me. We wouldn't let anybody touch us if they didn't have a plan. And listen, your recovery is going to be about 2 to 3 months. I don't think it's going to help, but let's just try it. Nobody runs into that operating room going, I don't think it's going to work. It's not even remotely connected, but we're just going to try it. You know what causes us to bear the pain of recovery? Is that we believe it's going to get better. And so I'm having this knee pulled out and a new one put in, and I'm going to struggle through the therapy and through the pain and through the sleepless nights and through the swelling because I believe it's going to get better. There's purpose behind it. And when I know the purpose for the pain, it gives me endurance or the ability to endure in that struggle or in that adversity. And so knowing the point, listen, we said it here, 7 or 8 years ago? We said it a couple Sundays ago. Following the plan of God, it's a simple plan, but simple does not imply easy. Not at all. What's easy is to get sidetracked. Fish are biting. I need to be fishing for the next 6 weeks. That's easy to get sidetracked in. Or we can fall into our sin tendency because it's pleasurable or enjoyable for a while, and before we know it, we're distracted. That's easy. What's hard is to lay aside the hindrance. What's hard is to deal with my sin that entangles me. What's hard is to say, what's the point, and to seek until you get an answer, and then to keep running with all you've got. Taking the next step in the plan of God is hard work. It's simple in its philosophy, but it's costly. It's brutal. It's competitive. Remember, Jesus taught us that we would struggle here because he struggled here. The world hated you, they're going to hate you also. That's just how it is. So they're going to talk about you. They're not going to hire you. They're going to call you and I all sorts of names because of what we believe, what we stand for. We're going to get treated in all sorts of ways. In this country, it's pretty polite. But in other countries, it's you believe our way or you're going to meet your God. Jesus said it's going to be hard. He never said quit. He always says endure. In our text here, we read it this morning, we're not going to deal a whole lot with it, but it says, you think about Jesus. What did Jesus do? What did he endure? He endured the cross. He endured the cross because he knew the cost of the cross would be worth what it would accomplish. Knowing that salvation could be preached to the world, knowing that any wretch of a sinner named Corey Penn could believe in Jesus and be saved, he says, it's worth it. And so I'll endure. This is the plan, God. This is the mission, my Father. And so if there's another way, let's do it. But if not, so be it. He endured the cross because the Bible says, for the joy set before him. Because he knew what it would accomplish. And we'll spend our time there next week looking at fixing our eyes on Christ. Let us run the race, this race that's marked out for us. If I don't understand that there is the race to run, if I don't know the point, I won't run. What's the point? You can summarize it however you want. Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart and love others the way that you love yourself. And I've put you on this planet to be my disciples. Go make disciples of every nation. Isaiah said, your glory and your renown is why I exist. And so knowing you and making you known. Right, we've got clear principles on what it means to understand the race. And so we need to understand the point. Otherwise, we'll just show up. I'm here. I'm not sure if I'm really doing my role as a Christian. I come on Sundays, I sit in a pew, and I sing a song, or I may teach class, or I may put some money on a plate, or I may help out in different ways. I just don't know if I'm really fulfilling my role or competing as I should be. We've got to analyze that against the point. Are we really working to accomplish the main point? And then third here and last this morning, we can, not we will, but we can take the next step as we each run the race that's marked out for us. As we each run the race that is marked out for us. And so we've just said there is the race. The race, and that's a real general term. Now we're talking about our race. I'm talking about your race. I'm talking about my race. If you've ever been to a race and you've watched thousands of people run, are they all running at the same pace? No, matter of fact, a lot of these races, they have what they call pace groups. And so on your registration form, if you can run a 10-minute mile, then they put you in this little corral. Whenever they blow the whistle for the 10-minute people to go, boop, you take off. And then they've got it for the 10-20 people or the 11-minute people. okay? Because you've got all different paces. Are they all running the same race? They're all running the same race, but within that race, they're running their race, right? That's kind of the concept here. There is the race, but then there is our race within that race. There is our role within God's plan or within God's purpose. So trying to understand here, what is my role in God's race? Let's go back to verse 1. The second part there again says, and let us run with perseverance the race. Who's it marked out for? It's marked out for us. Okay? You've got a race. I've got a race. It's all competitive towards the same point, the glory of God. But we're going to function in that way a little bit differently. Do we need 60 pastors here? No. Do we need 60 teachers here? Well, if we play semantics, yeah, I guess we do. And we go back to preachers. If we play semantics, yeah, we do. But all we're saying is that we have a little different role within the body, right? And everyone needs to fulfill their role. Let us run with perseverance the race that is marked out for us. Didn't Jesus teach us this principle beautifully? He didn't use the analogy of a race. He used the analogy of something that would be personal to him. And so his race, he says, I'm going to talk to you about my cross. That's my race. Luke chapter 9, verse 23. Jesus is talking here with his disciples. Anybody that's going to come after me, he said, this is what you tell them all. Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. Did Jesus have a race that was marked out for him? Absolutely. Was his race my race? Can I die as the Savior of the world? No, ma'am, no, sir, I cannot. Is Jesus to perform my role? Is he to run my race? No. Now, he supports me. He strengthens me. He's the power within us. But my race is not his, and his race is not mine. We're working at the same goal, but we each have an individual role that we play there. And so Jesus says here, I don't know if the text is still on the wall or not, Luke 9:23 says, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up what? Their cross. Jesus doesn't say deny yourself and take up my cross. He says deny yourself and take up your cross. And so what does your cross look like? For Jesus, it was a literal cross. People are going to hate me for no reason. They're going to arrest me for nothing, for no guilt. They're going to lie about me. They're going to betray me. They're going to beat me beyond the point of recognition. And I'm going to die on a literal cross. That's my cross. I will carry it up a hill as far as I can. Someone else will help me carry it. But that is my cross to bear, not yours. And aren't you thankful for that? What a price he paid and what a great love for all people. But the one carrying the cross looks at people who also will be carrying the cross and says, you run your race. You deny yourself daily and take up your cross. Take up my cross. And so what God is asking us is not the same thing he asked the Son. What God is asking of you, friend, is not the same thing that God is asking of me. The same race, just a different role within it. I don't know your friends. I don't know the people you work with. I don't know your neighbors. I don't know the opportunities you're going to have at a grocery store, at a gas station, at a family reunion, at a dance center, right? At a YMCA, at a pool, on a golf course, on a bicycle. I have no idea of all the opportunities that you will have, but they are yours. And God knows them, and he sets you in motion so that you would run your race, you would carry your cross, that you would follow after him in every one of those moments. For some of you, you've got real deep burdens about family members who've known the Lord and walked away. And you beg the Lord on behalf of those people to do something, to work in their life, to set somebody in place that will help them see that they need him. Those may be people that others in this room will never meet. But that's your race. And we'll pray for you, and we'll encourage you, and we'll love you, and we'll lift you up however we can. Well, God has positioned you where you are and me where I am to run my race and for you to run your race. Paul wrote elsewhere and said, we don't need a bunch of eyes to the body, right? What's the point if everybody's an eye? What do we get done? Just a bunch of seeing, but no doing. Everybody's not an elbow. Everybody's not a big toe. We need all the parts together, all right? But we've all got a different function. We've all got a different role in this race. I was reading this morning here from Rick Warren. He makes the comment saying, how God made you determines what God intends for you to do. He talks about this word shape, which is to say you've been gifted by God. Paul wrote to the Corinthians and says, and he wrote in Romans also, the Holy Spirit has gifted you. You have spiritual gifts that are not just something you were born with. When you became a follower of Jesus and the Spirit planted himself within you, he started to grow this. He's going to strengthen this in you. This is your gift or these are your gifts. Do you know what your gifts are? Is there a desire there? Is there a want? What is my gift? And how has God blessed me spiritually? Remember, we say all the time, God's not just set us here to save us and then go figure it out. Have fun. He's put us here with a plan. And so maybe you sit here today and you say, I'm not real sure what my spiritual gift is. What should we do? Doesn't James say we have not because we ask not? When's the last time you asked the Lord about that? How have you gifted me? How have you connected me with this body? What is my role here? Remember, nobody's a spectator. Everyone that comes together, and we believe you're not here by any accident whatsoever. Everyone who comes together is for the glory of God, for the purposes of God. And so what's my role? How do I compete in this race? How can I run my race within the big race? We're each to run the race that's marked out for us. Jesus says, take up your cross. What is my cross? What is my race? What are my gifts? I want to encourage you, church, to be persistent in this. We pray for people who don't know the Lord. We pray for people who are sick. Let's pray that we want to know what our role is on this planet, right? None of us want to stand before God and go, I just don't understand it. You said you love me. You gave me your word. Your spirit's in me. I just don't know what you want me to do. Did you ask? Did you really want to know? In finding out, would you have just with reckless abandon sold your life to that body or to that cause? Or would you have just said, I don't think I want to use my gifts that way. I want to encourage you to pursue the Lord. And what I know personally is that God will grant you clarity as you continue to seek him. The only reason I'm standing in a building in Granite City, Illinois, is because I know that there is gifting from God and there is leading from God. That's the only reason I'm here. Now, there's all sorts of benefits and blessings that have come as a result of being here, right? But we don't live for the blessing. We're here to run the race. And so God has positioned me this way, and I'm always rephrasing that prayer. God, why have you brought me here? What work are you trying to accomplish through my life, through our family? We pray this at home all the time. Through your church, what do you want to do in us? And just be persistent in it. Do what you know to do, all right? That's part of waiting. Do what you know to do, and then just seek the Lord with that reckless abandon. Pray for that kind of fresh fire to fall again or fresh clarity to come again so you can see what your role is. You are a part player here. You're not a pew filler. And so what is it? What's my role? And our roles may shift all the time. But it's just having that heart saying, I want to compete in my race. I want to fulfill my role. The way that God has made you determines what God wants you to do. He's gifted you. He's given you experience and wisdom and knowledge to use your life, to use my life. And we trust him with that, don't we? And let's trust him then to lead us out of this place to accomplish his mission. Let's trust him to connect this body, to unite it as one more and more and more. So that we reflect his glory and so that people, when they look at us, they don't go, wow, they're great, but wow, he's a great God. So I just want to ask you a couple questions here today. We're talking about enduring in the race. If God's created us to compete, are we competing? Are you really running? And how would you define that? Could you this morning write down on a piece of paper, here's the point of the church? And know that this is what it's about? Or would your list be like the one I read earlier, 50 or 60 things long? Do you understand what your role is? Is there a desire to fulfill your race? We talked, starting the message off, about a Colosseum where there would be athletes competing at the base of that Colosseum. In a book here by Jay Stoll, Fan the Flame, he writes and says this, "The Greeks had a race in their Olympic Games that was unique. The winner of that race was not the one who finished first. The winner of that race was the one who finished first with their torch still lit." And that's the way I want to endure. I want to come across that finish line and stand before my Savior out of breath, given my all, but not with an unlit torch. An unlit torch would be, I don't know the point. I don't really know my gifts. I was just helter-skelter everywhere, just trying to do anything. Didn't know the purpose. No, I want that fire. I want that clarity. I want that purpose. I want to know why you've made me. I want to fulfill my role. Are you running your race? Are you tracking as he's leading? And are you living in the blessing? The blessing of being part of the race.